Blog Talk Radio.
Load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Brought to you by WealthMoney.org. Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh are your hosts. This is the only program that addresses the destructive consequences of using a debt money system. Financial slavery is the result when all money is created and put into circulation through loans. How interest grows the debt, but not the money supply, and the effects that interest and debt has on our lives. If you would like to join the program and have a question or a comment, please call 347-884-9499. That's 347-884-9499. And now your hosts, Byron Dale and Greg Soderbergh.
What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Good morning. It's the November 15th, 2019 Wealth Money Radio Show. It's the most important program you can find and spend time with. If you listen, join in, you'll learn why. I'm Greg Soderbergh. In 1992, at the age of 41, I read a story about a fellow American that I could hardly believe. He'd been the victim of a failed, premeditated murder attempt planned by a United States governor. I couldn't believe something like that could happen to an American in America. I had to meet this person and hear it from him, so I did. That was when my eyes started to open to all kinds of things that were going on in America that I had never realized before. What happened to this man was a result of him standing in the gap to correct an injustice, one that was not being done to him only, but to you, your family, your friends, every American, and they're still doing it to you today. But the problem is, too few will help. So back then, I wrote to the Attorney General, Janet Reno, for help in bringing that governor and his helpers to justice for attempted murder. I think it had been maybe 10 years since the assault, but Janet Reno told me the statute of limitations had run out. Yet today, not too long ago, you'll remember, some will try to go back 30 or 40 years to try and convict a man of something they said he did in high school to a young lady. Anyway, I've been working with this person ever since I met him, trying to bring a change that would make many things better for all Americans, but not only better, but liberty and justice for all. And I'll continue working for that change no matter what. Maybe you'll help. I'm thankful that 27 years ago, I crossed paths with Byron Dale. So let's hear from you, 347-884-9499. It's like 10:04. Good morning, Byron Dale.
Good morning. How are you, Greg?
Oh, okay, I guess, you know, as good as I can be with all that debt money out there.
Well, I had a guy call me yesterday, and we had quite a conversation, and I just learned that a guy is running for a Democratic side for president, and he wants to have everybody get $1,000 a month, including the millionaires. They would still get the $1,000 a month.
Why do we need $1,000 a month? Do people, they need some money or what?
Well, obviously, there's a shortage of money to most people, and I've thought about that all day today, and I mean this morning, and I spent a lot of time on it and thinking about it, and you know, and then to pay for that, he wanted to put a tax on for 10%, kind of a surtax type tax for 10%. So I didn't really understand what the benefit was. Now, I didn't have the time and I didn't have a computer at that moment to think about how how much that would be for a week. $1,000 a month would be divided by four.
$250.
Would be $250.
$250.
Well, that sounds good, but what would that really do? And it always tickles me so, and it kind of angers me too, that everybody wants to give everything free to somebody, and then they don't want to, but they don't, you know, they don't seem to know where that money's going to come from any way, shape, or form. Well, unless we have a change in the money system, well, obviously that money's got to be borrowed from someplace, because I have a book called Tales from the Treasury, which is basically just copies of letters that I wrote to the Treasury, and they answered my questions. And it's clear that Treasury and the Library of Congress and the Federal Reserve System all say that banks create money as loans.
Yep.
And then when you ask them, okay, where does that, I mean, if that's the case, when I borrow something, if I borrow $100, I only get $100. But then if I have to pay interest on top of that, well, then, you know, then you obviously have to pay more back than you borrowed. So I went and asked the Treasury, or I wrote to him, and so did a friend of mine, Drew Foster, and we got the answer back, well, that will come from somebody else's borrowed money. Other one said, well, if money's all created as loans, well, then to get the interest, you'd have to borrow some more money, either yourself or somebody else. So the Treasury agreed, two different people, that in order to get the interest, you have to go get some more debt. Well, then my question is, was how in the world would you ever get out of debt? Now, I can understand why a few people could get out of debt, but not everybody could get out of debt. Well, then if you go and give them $1,000 a month, well, I guarantee you there's nobody can live on $1,000 a month. And yes, that would make it seem better if you got that much more in your paycheck. But if we would really stop and think about what would solve all these problems, and having, instead of having 1% of the people be so rich they own 90% of all the assets, and that's what they tell me. I read it on the internet several times, and other people talk about it. Well, what good is it going to do to tax all this money away from the really rich and give it to the government? Because I've never seen where the government did very good use of that money, period. So why wouldn't it make a lot more sense to create the money without debt and then spend it into circulation to basically about how that would benefit the nation, and rather than, or how it would benefit the nation if you just give them $1,000 a month and then tax them 10% to, I guess, for somebody would come up with the money. I just don't grasp it. It seems to me like it would be a lot better if we thought about overall consequences. And if the rich are too rich and you're going to take this money away, why don't you have them give it to the poor people in better wages than giving it all to the government?
Well,
and it looks to me like that would be a really good system, because now if you have a minimum wage, why don't you have a maximum wage so people can only get so much profit, and especially income? Well, why don't then they have that? If you want a raise, then you also have to give all your employees a raise, or people, especially in these corporations, where these guys really don't own the companies. They own stock in it, and if they own enough, well, then they got a lot of, you know, say-so in it. But basically, it's not like somebody just owned it, so they're all working for the same company. Why in the world do they get so much income and everybody else gets so little? So I think we want to talk about that. But in the meantime, we got a couple of guys that want to be on the show. Let's bring them on, and we'll start with Erlon. He's on. So let me get him here on so he can be live. Well, I guess he just signed off, so I guess we'll. The other guy is 612-529-5253.
That's Leslie. Hello.
Okay, let's
Hello.
Leslie. Go ahead, Leslie.
Well, this is this candidate for President Yang, Y-A-N-G. He's the guy that's proposing this $1,000 a month giveaway, and they call it universal basic income. And everybody would get that. I don't know about that 10% tax. That might only be on the billionaires or something like that. I don't know if that's
no,
on
it, it
everybody.
No, it didn't say period about that. All it did is say it had to be...
Well, he says that if elected president, they give $1,000 a month to every American over the age of 18, no matter their employment status. And he argues that the proposal would jumpstart the economy and make it easier for families to pay their bills. Universal basic income.
Yeah.
Does he ever state where the money's going to come from to pay everybody $1,000 a month? And that including the billionaires, they get it too.
Well, I don't know. I'll take a look here while I'm kind of holding on. I'll see if he says where it comes from.
Don't you do a little research on that? And while this other guy wants to come on, let's get him on while you do a little bit more research on that so we can talk about that a little bit more.
Okay.
Okay. Erlon, is that you? Erlon?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can now.
Yes? Okay. I'm out in the boonies of Pine City, Minnesota, so my reception's been coming in and out. I've called in 3 times.
Oh, okay. That's why you've been going in and out.
Yeah. And I don't have a lot to say today other than we're moving forward on some things, and I'm going to listen. And so that's what I'll do today because my reception really isn't very good.
Well, kind of what I'd like to talk about today is overall what we could do to make things better for all Americans. And so we have obviously a plan where we think we should follow the Constitution, and it says Congress shall coin the money. And we think they should do that, and we know that they do it because they set up a Bureau of the Mint to mint coins, and they set up a Bureau of printing and engraving to print currency. So it appears to me like if we did that, why wouldn't they spend that money into circulation so that they could? And the Constitution also clearly says that the Congress is supposed to provide for post office and post roads. So if they would do the two things together, wouldn't that make things a lot better for everybody where they would get higher wages? And then instead of letting these billionaires just get richer and richer and richer, there ought to be a maximum income tax too, I think, because you know that if you got a $100,000 to live on, you're going to have a lot different standard than if you're working someplace for $14 an hour. And yet you're all both trying to have a standard of living that you can live and have things. But why in a nation like this, why would we have such a big spread between what some people can make and what the other people could make when they're both working for the same company?
Well, I think it's all about control, and under a debt money system, no matter what you do, it's all about control. And this Yang guy, I think I've run across him before, but I think he's a wealthy individual. But, you know, he's either proposing the $1,000 because he's totally ignorant of what's going on, or he's a fraud. And the reason I say that is because he says it's free, it's a free $1,000, yet he's going to fund it through a tax. Well, if he's going to fund it through a tax, then basically it's not free if you have to be taxed to pay for it. It's not free.
If somebody has to tax for it.
Yep, and if you're just taxing money that's already out there to pay for it, you're just moving money from one place to another. And the real reason I think somebody would propose basic income or a stipend or a little check every month free to the people is so that they could pacify the people so they could keep doing it to them. Because like I said in my intro,
but why would you want to give a billionaire $1,000 a month when it wouldn't even month it? I mean, he'd be a joke to him.
Well,
and yet you're going to do that same thing to a person that's only making probably $12 to $14 an hour and working all day, all day.
The answer to that question is, why would you give it to everybody, including a billionaire? Well, because, Byron, you know you want to be fair. And the problem
is bullshit
because they're not being fair. They're forcing the American people who follow the rest of the world who are already in economic servitude. They force the American people and their government into debt so that money can exist. And that's the fraud, and they're doing it to you. Money can exist without debt. Money simply needs to be a representation of what we produce, spent into circulation, debt-free, representing what we own, not what we owe, our freedom, not our servitude. And it all boils down to that. And, you know, until they start talking about those things, I wouldn't listen to the rest of all that bullshit that's going on out there. Because
at the same time, shouldn't we be also seeing that everybody then, if we're going to be a great country and all that, shouldn't the amount of income we have come somewhat the same? Why would 90% of the people be forced to live on hardly anything and 10% be able to actually own the world, own all the resources, and yet you're still going to give them $1,000 too? I mean,
isn't there
supposed to be something about equality here in this whole thing?
But like I said, you cannot have that with a debt money system, and they're not addressing that. And you're right. And the money should be created and spent into circulation as a debt-free earned payment. It cannot exist until it's earned, and we have to earn that money into circulation by producing something we all benefit from and need and can use mutually. The benefit is equal to all of us, and that's in the Constitution is roads, okay? Build these roads instead of taxing and borrowing and bonding and all those wonderful little words we use. Create the numbers. Have the Treasury create the numbers. They can create them just like a bank does, or they can print the currency, or they can stamp coins. It doesn't matter. Either way you want it, and pay for it when the work's done. Now the money goes into circulation with no debt, and you don't have the constant increase in the cost of living and the spread between the money supply and the cost of living and the reduction in purchasing power. And now you get back to people can earn what they rightfully earn, and nobody else has to suffer for it. But today you do. You can't have money with no debt unless somebody else is in debt. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Isn't this a wonderful country? Anyway, so
hold on. If you did it as roads, too, wouldn't that money go into circulation all over the nation every year? Because don't they rebuild or repair or fix roads in every state all over the nation?
Yep.
at least all summer long. And
right. And the people,
maybe when
and
it gets terrible cold in the winter, they don't. But wouldn't that now spread
that.
It all over the entire nation?
Yep, and the people would be in control of that. They would decide what road needs to be fixed, just like they do now. Somebody goes and complains about the road's got a big pothole in it, they want it fixed, and they get it done. But now they borrow all the money for it from a bank that doesn't have anything except the ability to create numbers, just like our Treasury. And then we got to go into debt to them to have the money. And while we have the money, the debt constantly grows on it, but the money supply only grows with more borrowing. Do we have a problem? God.
Well, obviously there is a problem, or we wouldn't have guys say, well, I'm going to run for president and I'm going to give everybody $1,000. But I went online and looked him up this morning, but I didn't see any place of where he was going to get that money except to tax the people for it. So what's the real gain there?
Right. He's going to take money away from me so he can give it back to me. Wonderful idea. Man, that guy's really got a head on his shoulders. God.
Go ahead, Leslie. Have you found any information on this subject?
One of the things they're talking about is a value-added tax.
What's a value-added tax?
A value-added tax, I guess, would be like a national sales tax almost on whatever is produced. That would add 10% tax on that, and that would be the supposed new money from the value-added tax. It wouldn't be taken from somebody. They would add it. So if you went in and bought something, you would pay 10% extra for that, and that would go into this pot of money. And they're talking about taking it from multiple places, but various people are arguing about it. Some billionaires think it's a good idea, and some think it's not a good idea. You know, they'll take some from the Social Security fund and some from the Medicare and all of that, but they don't say anything about creating new money for the program because, you know, you're saying that all money must be as a loan, but it doesn't have to be. If Congress decides to create money for a universal basic income, can't they just order the Treasury Department to create brand new money and send off that $1,000 to everybody? I'm not saying
sure.
I agree with that, but
sure,
couldn't they do it that way?
Sure, they can do it that way. In the meantime, we still create money as debt, and now the creators of that money, they're going to have even more profit because they're creating debt-free money to pay the interest on all them loans. And how can it be $1,000 to me if they're going to take, let's say, $100 away to fund it? I'm only getting $900. You know, we need to ask. Somebody needs to be in the position somehow. Try to ask Mr. Yang how it works now. Now, if you don't know how it works now, I'm telling you, you don't know how to fix it. And if that's the kind of people we want to listen to, then we may as well just get ready for more of what we already got.
Well, nobody's suggesting we listen to them.
I didn't say any place we should. I didn't say any place we should listen to
them. People are proposing. It's good to see all proposals and all ideas. Some are good.
That's what I think. We ought to look at these ideas. Now, again, my question is: if you got a basic income, how many people would not want to work? They would just want to get more basic income so they could live without working. How many people would do that in relationship to the population, in relationship to the ones that would keep on working?
Well, there are lots of arguments on all sides of the issues, but if they're looking at all different ideas, they won't look at your idea, the money plan, or what's called the American Transportation Act. Nobody even wants to talk about that. I mean, you know, you met with the state representative. Where is he on that issue?
Yeah, I mean,
well, he understood what it needed to be done, but he didn't have the balls to go ahead and introduce it to the rest of his congressmen because he's too concerned about making sure he gets reelected and has influence with the rest of the Congress. He's not in any way looking to solve any problems, I can guarantee you.
Well, why would he then even take our time and trouble to try to understand the problem?
Well, because
it's
looking at it, you're giving your time to the people to listen to them, and that looks good, and he campaigned on that he's easy to go see and stuff. But what difference does it make if you don't have the balls to step out and do and make changes that will make a real change?
Well, you know, Yang announced
that
he wanted to.
These are the things that I don't understand.
Let me say something here. Yang announced that he would entertain different ideas from different people. And I sent him the money plan proposal, and he said he would give $1,000 to 10 different people that sent him ideas that he thought were viable. And I sent him the money plan and was told by one of his staff people that contacted me that they're reviewing it. Now, I don't know what that means. I didn't hear back from them. But he has it, so he knows about it, or his staff knows about it, the money plan of how to pay for the roads and bridges and transportation. So it's out there.
Good.
He's not talking about it.
That's what we're supposed to be doing, getting that idea in front of as many people as possible, because I've been working with this for many years, and I've listened to many ideas about how to do the money thing. And most of those ideas come from people who don't even know what the problem really is. You know, it's like, you know, and so we've listened to these ideas, but unfortunately, none of the ideas are workable. You know, they're not good
ideas. Can you hear me? Greg?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm meeting, like I mentioned to you, Greg, I'm meeting Monday with the communication director for the Minnesota Republican Party, Rebecca Allery. And she's going to hear what my key plan is, because I want the Minnesota Republican Party to back me for U.S. Congress specifically on that particular proposal of how to bring the money into circulation for the roads and bridges, the American Transportation Act. And, you know, you even sent me back her qualifications. So she's a pretty smart lady, don't you think? I mean, pretty savvy about the process.
Well, and it sounds like a good opportunity. But the other thing that I've also experienced many things like that in my lifetime in working with this that I thought were good opportunities, and I try not to get discouraged going in. You got to go in and see how it comes out. But a lot of those people that have great backgrounds, very intelligent people, something happens to them when they start hearing about this. But
well, I'll show
well,
to
you
Monday
you
afternoon
all
and get back to you.
You got to all remember that these congressmen are all getting their campaign money basically from bankers.
But she's
so
not a congressman.
How are you
going
to go to a banker? How are you going to go to a banker and say, "Would you please do this? I think it sounds good, and it wouldn't be good for you." And he's going to jump all over it. You know, I'm sorry. If you go to a crook and he knows he's a crook and he believes he's a crook and he wants to be a crook, but and you tell him, well, that might get you in jail someday, and he said, well, sometimes that's just the risk you take. And that's kind of how these bankers are. They
well, this person I'm meeting with, she's not a
congressman. Most of them don't even understand how the banking system really works. Go ahead.
She's a communications director for the Minnesota Republican Party, and she's called for this particular meeting. So I'm going to their office, and part of what my meeting will be about is explaining to her how the money plan works, giving her the legislation. I'll give her a couple of days to ponder it and talk about it, and I'll get back to you guys on Wednesday or Thursday and let you know what she says. You know, if they adopt it, suppose the Republican Party of Minnesota adopts the money plan as one of their key platforms going forward. I'm always optimistic, and maybe not optimistic, but hopeful. And I hope that could happen. Who knows? Maybe it will.
Well, that's what we need more people doing, what you're doing, Leslie, and I appreciate it, and I agree with you, and you just got to keep moving forward, and every opportunity, try to meet with it and see what happens.
Well that's basically the same thing. That's basically the same thing you're saying, too, isn't it, Erlon? You're trying to do the same thing, isn't it, aren't you, basically?
Meeting with different legislators, and we're going to be implementing a program to simplify it and end the gas tax, not stave off an increase, but to end it. And the message is simple. Are you for reducing taxes or not, yes or no? And that's the issue.
Okay. Well, this is kind of interesting because I had this guy call me, and so I was just kind of thinking about it. And I've asked people if they would keep on working if they got $1,000 a month. And I've been surprised at how many people they said that they would go on ahead and work, but they may not work at the same job, because most of them wouldn't work at a job where they got paid a lot less than another job, or work at a job they don't really like just to get the income, if they could have enough income to go do something else that they did enjoy doing but don't pay as much. and nobody seems to address those kind of issues that I ask about, because I clearly understand this whole system pretty well, and I've worked a long time working with the legislators, and I've clearly been told that it's going to be tough, because it's just the facts are they get their money to campaign from the bankers, and most of them are not going to campaign for anything that not the bankers aren't going to like. And I had a banker tell me to me personally that they would do that in a minute if they got to own the banks or own the roads. They would fund the roads that way if they got to own them all. Well, now, you know blame well, once they owned them all, then they would want to charge you to drive on the road.
Yep, and the other thing is, even if they don't get all their campaign money from money creators, they do get campaign money from a lot of people who have a lot of money. And the principle works the same there, is that, you know, if you want to receive money from me, then you kind of want to get things done sort of like the way I want them done. So, in any case, the money influences these people.
Well, I want to share this with you, because this is a personal experience that I had just a couple of days ago. I was talking to a person, and kind of along some of these lines too, and they said, yeah, they knew a guy, I think it was actually the woman that I was talking to, her brother, that he was a lawyer. And so he basically, everybody that, you know, come to him, they wanted to help have the lawyer show them some way they could get out of paying taxes. And that's his pretty near with his whole thing. That's what he did. And he kept thinking about it. And he said, you know, here these guys are really rich, and they can afford to pay me to try to figure out some way so they don't have to pay any taxes. Now, again, see, look at the problems you run into. Now, this guy had some morals, because after a few years, he said, I just can't do that anymore. Here, I'm spending all my time trying to figure out how some people that's got rich already don't have to pay taxes when they're going to tax the rest of us more anyway. And so he quit doing that and went to do something else. But see, these are the problems we face if we don't really address all the consequences that this nation has, because the banking system and a few people in it are able to control almost everything because they own and control the money. And they're always looking out for their own rights, not benefits, not anybody else's.
And this clamoring for money really is a result of the cost of living and the spread between the money supply and the cost of living. Everybody is short, and so everybody's trying to do something to get more of it. And when you have people in control of that money supply, then they can have everybody else do what they want to do, because the people need it, but they can't get it unless they go to these people and do what the people want them to do. And it's, you know, it's not freedom. I mean, again, I know it's a simple, and some people think ridiculous, that Greg keeps coming back to the freedom issue, but it's about freedom. And there was a country once that supposedly was about freedom called America, and it isn't the one we're living in now. And we need to get it back if that's the kind of life we want, to be free and fair and honest and just people and working together and producing and being prosperous and just, if that's the way we want to be. And you're not going to do it with a debt money system. You're in economic servitude.
Well, a guy in this email I got from him today, he said that he quoted a law where the Congress had clearly given over in 1913, I think it was, or no, it was 1933, they had totally given over to the banking system the total control of the money. Now, how could congressmen that ever read the Constitution and cared about it and swore an oath to uphold it, why would they pass a law that was in total violation of the Constitution, which clearly says Congress is to handle, is to create the money, not the banking system. But
so
see,
many...
the Congress then, they did both things. They set up a Bureau of Printing and Engraving to print the currency and stamp the coins, but at the same time, then they give the total control over that to the banking system. Now, how in the hell could these guys be any kind of honest people?
That's why I get back to you talking about Mr. Yang. And Mr. Yang isn't alone either. But the very people you ask the question of how could Congress do that, Byron, it all gets back to an answer is they either do it by ignorance or they do it as fraud. They know it's wrong, but they're going to benefit from it, so they're going to do it anyway. So they either do it through ignorance or fraud. There's no other two ways about it. You just have to decide which one it is.
Well, that's why we're working on what we're working on and have been for so many years, especially you guys, you know. So we're trying to get people to understand it. I don't know why they don't do it. It sounds good to me. Nobody has shown me any reason. Actually, you know, they won't even talk to me about it, let alone I said, well, what's wrong with this? They said, well, if it was such a good idea, wouldn't we be doing it already?
Well,
that's kind
you know
of a stupid
what,
answer.
You know what, Leslie, I said, you ought to talk to him about disease, too. Because, you know, exciting cures for diseases sounds like a good idea, but it was so good, wouldn't we be doing it by now? How ridiculous can these people be? You know, it's just blowing you off with some stupid comment that, you know, and so you just have to, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps and keep on trucking.
Well, you know, there's only, at this point, there's only two of us running in this congressional district, and if I make this an issue and we discuss it and talk about it, it's going to be interesting. Nobody has ever made it an issue in the campaign, and now that the fact that an official of the Republican Party of Minnesota is acknowledging my existence and calling for a meeting, that really gives me some encouragement and optimism. I'm feeling that I'm on the right track. I don't go into these things or wake up every day thinking that we're not going to do it. I said, well, maybe they'll get it today, or maybe somebody of some influence will catch on to this deal. I don't know why Congressman Emmer has never done it. He laughed at it the first time he heard it, but, you know, he's my neighbor next door in the U.S. Congress. Why doesn't Tom Emmer? He's not a dumb guy. I mean, I've conversed with him. He's got some pretty interesting background. He's an attorney. He's served on the city council. Why doesn't Tom Emmer jump on the money plan with me? And that would really be a good team. So I'm trying to do that.
Yeah. Well, because he's not an honest man, that's why. Because I've talked to him a lot, and the truth is he's not an honest man. He don't want to do what's right for the benefit of all the people.
Well,
it's
he should
all about
care. He's got
things
seven,
for him.
He's got about six or seven sons and a daughter. I think he's got about seven or eight children. He should care what's going on for their future. If he's going to hand over a pile of debt to them, that's not a good idea. So maybe Emmer will come around. You know, he's on the what they call the NRCC, I think the National Republican something committee. And this woman that I'm meeting with on Monday, she has some influence. She was on that committee. She was at one time a communications person for the Emmer campaign when he ran for governor and almost won, actually. So she's going to be pretty helpful. I'll be able to get some good ideas from her, and I'll feed that back to you. I'm incredibly optimistic and hopeful because this is the first time I've gotten anybody of any official capacity to give me any kind of recognition. So
yep,
I think
it sounds great. I think it's great. And
I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, Leslie, is your campaign, you don't have to tell everybody you're going to give them free stuff. You can just go about telling them you're going to lower their cost of living, eliminate the fuel taxes, increase their purchasing power and their ability to save and have a happier, more prosperous life. And if they need to ask how you're going to do that, you can tell them. But basically, you know,
this guy offering $1,000, he ain't telling him exactly how he's going to do it. He's just feeding it out there to the people. Oh, man, they're going to eat this up. You know, I think he should add, you know, like, a new car to it also. You know, give them all a new car. And, you know, I mean, how low can you get to pandering to an ignorant population? But I guess that's what we can do now, because the American people haven't really thought about what the hell's going on at all. Don't seem like they care.
Well, Yang said the first time around that he would give the first 10 people the $1,000 out of his own pocket. That's why I sent him the plan, and he's not looking into it. Yeah, we don't need
how much money does Yang have? I mean, 330 million Americans times $1,000. I don't have my calculator here, but
no, he's only going to give it to 10. $10,000. A chicken feed. He's a billionaire. They're going to give away $10,000. And he got all that national publicity and television for all giving away $10,000. Big deal.
Yep.
There's people that give that to help people that are needy every day. So he's not a big deal, Mr. Yang.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, Mr. Yang has money, but he doesn't have a clue about anything else.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so...
Well,
but,
I'm counting on Rebecca Allery, the communications director for the Minnesota Republican Party, with a good background and a good education to understand the money proposal, the American Transportation Act, and how it works, and find out from her. I'll get a definitive answer after she processes it for a day or two or three, what she's going to do about that. They can make it part of the platform, you know. They have these caucuses and stuff, and the American Transportation Act can be part of the Republican Party platform. Trump would love it because it gets rid of the Federal Reserve. So he's in favor of that, and he's probably going to win in 2020 the way it looks. But who knows? Why couldn't it be part of the platform? They do that at the caucuses.
Yep, absolutely. It could, you know. I just think, you know, I always talk to people, I'm always asking them, basically it comes down to is, do you believe that it's okay to be forced into debt to have money? And, you know, they never really thought about that. But the fact of the matter is, in America, it's not even legal to be forced into servitude. The 13th Amendment protects us from involuntary servitude. There should be no involuntary servitude except for a crime for one has been duly convicted of. And this doesn't apply, the debt money system doesn't apply to Americans or their government, because what crime have they committed that would force us into debt to have money, force us into economic servitude involuntarily?
Well, you know, Greg, we've had it for so long that people have accepted it as the way to do it. And like, you know, that ridiculous answer the one guy gave me, if there was a better way or different way to do it, we'd have done it already. I said, well, nobody came along with the idea. So here's the idea now. This is a different way to do it, and people are discouraged from looking at it. Like Byron says, he thinks that Representative Davis understands the plan. Well, when I met with him, what he said was, well, he doesn't understand where the money will come from. He's looking like at these piles of bills or bushels of money, like whenever they talk about money on television, you always see the printing press and all of that going. So I said, well, it wouldn't be piles of money. It would be digits in the computer that would move from here to there. And he keeps asking me, well, where is the actual money? I said, we're creating it. It's not here now in front of you. But when we put the number, when we have the authority to put the numbers into the computer, they will exist at that time. Yep. He doesn't get it. I mean, Byron thinks he gets it. Well, with all due respect
to
Byron,
I know he gets it.
I don't think
Greg
Davis
is
that smart. Huh?
Well, Congressman Davis is asking the same questions that once upon a time Governor Tim Pawlenty kept asking. Where is the money going to come from? We kept telling Tim, when the banks create the money, they simply create the numbers and put them in your checking account. And that's what will happen with this. They just create the numbers. Oh, I don't see where the money's going to come from. I mean, what do you do with a guy like that?
They're all like that. But we'll see. I don't know. I'm kind of. I think we've got a good break here. Once they see there's a little break in it, once they start to talk about it at the meetings, I got a call also from the Minnesota Gun Owners Association, and they're looking for a meeting. So that'll be a good group of folks. Be on my side.
Yes,
the hunters and the National Rifle Association and the Minnesota Gun Owners and all of that. So I'm going to be meeting with them next week out in Shoreview. So it's looking good.
Anybody?
I'm not going to be one of these guys. I'm not going to go door to door begging people for their vote. I just want them to see where their future is in freedom and gun safety and all of that kind of stuff. You know, this little punk that just shot up the high school out there in California, killed a couple of people. I mean, what kind of thing? It's not because of the guns. It's because he's just a goofy, crazy little kid.
Well, you know, Leslie, if we didn't have schools, things like that wouldn't happen.
Uh-huh.
And you know,
the other thing, Leslie,
is we shouldn't have spoons. If we didn't have spoons, people wouldn't be fat.
So we'll have to get rid of all the schools and the silverware.
Yeah, there you go.
We'll eat out of troughs. But I'm optimistic, and I want you to be optimistic too, Greg, because I think, sometimes if you keep pushing a good idea, eventually it could happen. And I think if it's ever going to happen, it's going to happen within the next 8 or 10 months. So I'm optimistic and working as hard as I can on it, or as hard as I want to. I guess I could work harder, but I think it's a strategy of meeting with the right people and the right people talking about it. So we'll see. Hopefully they'll want
totally
to have a meeting.
I totally agree with that. And I see now that we have another somebody else wanting to come on the show. So if it's okay with you guys, I'll see what
he
has to say.
Do it.
Good morning, Rule. How are you this morning? What you got to say?
Yeah, I just got in on the little bit there on the end, and I agree with everything he said. And I've probably this week had half a dozen conversations, and everybody agrees. You know, we need to do something, and I think the more we talk positive about it, like we're doing, you know, the more headway I think we're gonna make there. And I plan to send a letter or converse with our governor here in the not too distant future, and hopefully can make some sense here in Nebraska, because we are in an economic downturn terrible here in Nebraska. So we got to do something, and the American Transportation Act is the only thing I know of that will actually do the job. So
I had a guy tell me the other day there's a lot of farmers in Nebraska that's committing suicide.
If everything is
such a good economy and all that, how come our debt constantly keeps going up and up and up and up?
Exactly.
We're going to fix that.
Now we've got another guest that just came on. So if it's okay with you guys, I'll see what he has to say. Good morning. I don't know your name. It's 507-952-8302. Can you give us your name and what you have
Greg.
To say? Or,
yes,
it's
Greg.
What?
This is John. You'd know me if you saw me. We've talked before.
Okay.
What
comment do you want to make, or question to ask, or whatever?
Question. I've been listening to I've been listening on air on the laptop, and everything is spot on.
Okay.
Get the ball to everyone that's listening. Get the ball rolling. Just get the ball rolling.
Well, that's what I like to hear.
Get the ball rolling, and it's good that whoever, I forgot the guy's name that's going to talk with Rebecca Allery.
Ashley Davis.
Get the ball rolling. and see where that goes. And I'll be praying and just to see where it goes, because we know what the Constitution says. I know what the Constitution says. I read it. I know it. I served in the military. I've talked to Greg, and he'd know me if he saw me. And I just thought we need to get the ball rolling, and what I'm hearing is this is good. And so,
well, we're trying hard to get the ball rolling. There's no question about it. That's the only reason we have this show. We're not like everybody else. We don't ask for money every time we turn around.
Right.
But we
right,
do want
absolutely.
People to help and think and question, why in the world, if we're such a great country and one of the greatest in the world, how come we have $57 trillion worth of debt?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean,
not 57, I, 70, $75 trillion worth of debt.
Yes. And there,
you know,
it
anybody
does,
that would stop and think would have to know there has to be something really wrong that a country
mm-hmm.
like this just constantly gets increasing its debt constantly. Now,
mm-hmm.
that just anybody with any logic has to know there's something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and
God,
all these congressmen, I listen to them, and they know it's tougher to make a, it's tougher and tougher to get the money than it used to be, and it costs more to do everything than it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's so obvious that,
mm-hmm.
You know, what it costs to get a home or rent a place or anything
mm-hmm.
is a lot higher for this new generation than
mm-hmm.
it is, than it was for when we was young.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know about you guys, but I'm not young anymore.
No, my dad, I was told by my dad, go get a job.
Me too.
And that period. And I don't, we're dealing with a new generation, and basically from what I've seen on YouTube, we have a strong, young, conservative movement, not a campaign, but a movement. And I watched the Trump rallies, and
get on the ground now.
What's that? No, there's a strong, young, conservative movement, and which gives me hope. Because we are not going to be around forever. We have to plant the seeds, so to speak, and that planting the seeds means getting with our legislatures and people that, in this case, the guy that I think it was Rebecca Allery, and talk and get the ball rolling. So that's my only comment. I know Greg, and I get his emails, and I thought I should call, and just say, hey,
great.
I like what I'm hearing, but again, we have a young conservative group, and I haven't seen this since the Goldwater days, and I, of course, I'm not that old, but I've seen clips of when Ronald Reagan was a Democrat, but he gave a you can find it on YouTube. But he was supporting Goldwater, and it was a young conservative group. This is back in '64, and now I haven't seen this before, but I thought, okay, there's a young conservative group, and a lot of people that I know are walking away from the left, and finding out, doing research. A lot of people that supported, that were on the left, and now they're finding out that things are not what they seem. And you have to research. You have to find the truth, basically. So, anyway, that's all I have to say.
Well, I know there's
Can I make a comment? this, hey, Byron, can I make a comment here?
Yeah, sure, go ahead. Absolutely.
Yeah, I talked to Greg last week, and, you know, one thing, if you look throughout history, and people need to really, really capture this whole truth. If you look throughout history, every good leader took the weight of servitude off their people. It's without question. I mean, you can look through biblical history, you can look throughout history, and one of the first and foremost things did is they set the people free. And we have to make sure when we look at our leaders, are they promoting liberty? And I'm talking financial liberty. And if not,
that's not
how you tell. Right.
No.
Exactly. So,
you know, unless really, unless the American people are just at the point where they don't care about freedom anymore, they just want more money. I don't know. It seems to me I don't hear that word freedom very often anymore. And it's kind of funny that you don't hear it that often in a country that basically freedom was supposed to be the foundation of that country. And, you know, so I don't know if they just don't care about freedom. Seems like the contention and chaos out there is all about I want this, I want that, I haven't been treated right, everything's unfair, I don't have enough of this, give me that. Everybody is want to take, they want to take something. So I don't know where their heads are at. If it's what I see, then their heads really are just into getting more money and trying to make themselves comfortable.
But we could do that with a wealth money system just as well as we could with this debt money system.
Well, you
do it a lot easier.
A lot easier and better.
And I could
have all this interest to pay. You could live a lot better on the same salary.
And I can have
lower taxes, lower cost of living, get rid of the fuel and axle taxes, have better roads and bridges, and higher paying jobs, and be wonderful. America could be a wonderful place, and it will be better than it is.
And you could have savings without having to save somebody else's debt and put them deeper in the crap, because if I save now, when you save money, you're just saving somebody else's interest-bearing loan, and you've got it. And they have no way of getting it back. And you have to remember, there's a lot of this going on. It just ain't one person, you know. So, you know, they want us to save, but we can't even save till we're in debt first. How ridiculous is that? What are we saving? We're saving an interest-bearing loan. The debt grows with time, and so you're trying to save it? I mean, just think of how ridiculous that is. But the American Transportation Act would allow for money you could save. There's no debt to it, no interest growing on it. You don't hurt anybody else by saving the surplus. And if you had surplus, when an unexpected thing came up, you'd probably have the money to pay for it instead of having to be taxed to create a social program to help all those people out there that need $1,000.
Hey, Greg?
Yeah?
Go ahead.
Hey, whoa. You know, I think on the whole campaign deal now, the one of the first and foremost questions ought to be when the president's campaigning is, what are you going to do about our debt? How are you going to set the people at liberty like the Constitution says, huh?
Yeah. And he might say, what's the Constitution? I never heard of that.
I think that's a lot of it. Or they, if they did, they sure in the heck ain't paying any attention to it.
Well, they're real anxious about Minnesota. The President Trump is anxious about winning Minnesota, and maybe we could get the attention this needs. And he might, if the American Transportation Act could get in front of him, maybe he'd like it and make it part of his platform.
Well, you know, Leslie, we went through a whole lawsuit with President Trump and that whole thing, and that's what we were trying to do. First of all, we tried to write and connect with him. I forget how many different ways and angles we tried to get in front of him, and we couldn't. And then when we went through the courts and filed the suit against him, he got all the documents. He signed that he got them, but he never entered into the court action. And quite frankly, I think he influenced the Minnesota District Court to reverse their decision to give us a hearing, because they gave us a hearing,
But then after he visited the state of Minnesota a few days later, they decided, no, we're not going to have a hearing. So I don't know, you know. President Trump seems to be about the big deal, you know. Everything's a business to him, you know. And I don't think he's really, either by ignorance or fraud, not ever thought about how this system works. And I don't know if he really cares.
Well, maybe his son-in-law could understand it.
I don't know. I never know who can understand it.
Okay, well, don't give up on this, because I think we're on a trail now. I'm feeling really positive about this. We got the Republican Party on us coming over, the Gun Owners Association. I'm going to show the NRA my membership card back from when I was a kid, and we'll get all the people that are our allies to understand it. The people that don't understand it, like Governor Walz, and who wants to raise the gasoline tax, there's no sense talking to those people. We need to talk to our friends and get our friends to understand it. So that's what I'm doing, and with your support, wonderful. I really appreciate it a lot. You've been a good friend, Greg, and a good friend to the American people, so I won't let you down. I'll do a good job this time around.
I know you will, and if you need anything I can do for you, holler at me.
Okay, I'm signing off. You guys have a great day. I'm feeling real good. Good conversation. Thanks for doing it.
Sounds good. Okay, now, go ahead.
Byron, I think we have a new potential guest on. Check your control panel.
Over and out. I see somebody down here that's 507-952. Whoops. He disappeared.
Yeah, that was John.
Yeah, good that time. Was the other guy.
Okay. Well, 507-952-8302, is that a new guy?
501-8302.
Are you a new guy or you've been here?
No, I've been on there, but I'm going to sign off.
Okay, that's fine. I just would not make sure. Okay.
No, that's okay.
Erlon, the other guy, must have signed off because I don't see nothing there now.
What would he there, huh? Okay, well.
I don't know. I can only go what I see on my screen, and I also see that our time is up. And I personally want to thank all you guys for coming on the show today because it really helps. And I think there is a lot of interest out there, more than most of us think about. And I know that I'm trying to contact the Attorney General, and I come up with another plan. And already in just one day, I've had 5 different people call me and tell me they was going to help me doing it. So I'm enthused about that. And when the rest of the people who get it and they try to move it on to other people, and Greg gets it to all the people that he has, that he gives information about this show, if he can get them all to do it, and Rule and Drew and all these guys can get it to all the people they know that's interested and kind of interested in it, I think it could make quite an impact. And so, again, we just try to do everything. And I understand, Leslie, I would be more of it, but I'm now I'm anything but young, and I'm not particularly healthy anymore, which I found out was kind of a shock. But it's still that we need to go ahead, and we need younger blood to come in and help us do these things and talk about these things. And that's why I'm so encouraged about Rule, because he is younger, and we need these people in there, and we need like Erlon and people doing this. It don't make any difference how they go about doing it, just as long as they get the message across. And with that, I want to thank you all and thank all the other listeners. And if anybody else has anything to say, say it right quick, because we're about to sign off.
We're going to have another show next week.
Yep. We sure will.
We plan on it.
Okay, we'll look forward to that.
You betcha, and we'll talk to you all then.
want to thank you for listening to the Wealth Money Radio Show. Please visit our website at wealthmoney.org. We would appreciate your support by purchasing the books and materials. Don't just purchase the books, but study the information we have presented, and tell others the truth of our debt-based system, the problems interest causes, and the slavery it promotes. Byron and Greg, thank you for your support.